Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We bring in our good friend Scott Petrak from BrownZone.com, Chronicle Telegram. Hey, Scott, how are you? How's your family? How are things going?
Everything's good. How are you guys?
Hi, Scotty.
Good. I thought that was that update was just caught me off a little off guard there. Can you imagine the Salt Lake Raiders?
That'd be weird.
Did you already
it?
Send the update? Yeah, it would
Salt
be
Salt Lake.
The Salt Lake. What other cities? Oh my God! You want to talk about the exact opposite?
Yeah.
Right.
Mismatched city and team right there.
That's crazy. All right, Scott, let me start you off with this question. Is a tackle, no matter what side they play on?
That's a great question. Here's the thing. I think Andrew Berry's main point when he said that last week is that in today's NFL, there's so many good pass rushers. Teams usually have one on each side, that right tackle is way more important than it used to be. And if it's not at the same level as left tackle, it's awfully close, and we've seen that with Mitchell Schwartz, with Kansas City, shutting down Von Miller. He did it in the Super Bowl. You need to be balanced. Now, the question with this draft for the Browns is you already have your right tackle in Jack Conklin, so you need specifically a left tackle. And the question is, can Alabama's Jedrick Wills and Iowa's Tristan Wirfs make the transition after Wills didn't play any left tackle. Didn't play in high school, didn't play at Alabama. Wirfs has played a little bit of left tackle. Can they make that transition? And Berry kind of downplayed it and said, yeah, we've seen guys do it. We've seen Conklin go from left to right. We've seen Tyrone Smith from Dallas go from right to left. But I've talked to plenty of linemen over the years, and they say it's an adjustment switching sides, and it's not as easy as some people say. So I know what Barry's saying, and maybe that opens the door to Wills and Wirfs, and he's comfortable with any of those guys, but I don't think it's a no-brainer that a person on one side who spent a lot of time on one side can definitely make the switch to the other side.
Just for giggles, how about a guy who spent a lot of time on the left side in college, came to an NFL team that had an outstanding left tackle, so they put him on the right side. Then he leaves after four seasons and signs as a free agent with the Browns. Can that guy move back to the left side?
Well, it's an interesting thought, Jeff. And, you know, I wouldn't rule it out. In Andrew Berry, when he was somebody asked about, hey, it sure looks like you're set up to take a left tackle at number 10. All your free agent moves, not having signed or traded for a left tackle. And he said, don't make any assumptions. Jack Conklin's played left tackle. Chris Hubbard's played left tackle. Kendall Lamb has played left tackle, but while those are true, you know, Chris Hubbard struggled at right tackle last year. I don't think he's your week one starter left tackle. Kendall Lamb could barely get on the field last year. He dealt with some injuries, but the only time he's been a starter in the league full time is on the right side. And as for Conklin, you know, we talked to Kevin Stefanski the week earlier, and he said the plan is to keep him on the right side. I just think he'd be more comfortable there. That's where the Titans thought he was better. So I guess I wouldn't rule it out. If you drafted a Wills or a Wirfs and you brought them into camp and they were struggling on the left side, then maybe you think the best thing for your team is to put Conklin on the left side and let the rookie play on the right side. So I wouldn't rule it out, but it just seems like you got your right tackle. Go find a guy that can just step in and play left tackle.
All right, so just to reiterate, Jack Conklin, you think, should stay at right tackle.
Just that's what I'm saying, yes.
Okay. I just don't see why you spend all that money to go get him and then you're going to go move him.
Because of that's right. Tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It just feels like with this tackle class, and there's, in my opinion, plenty of guys that can come in and play left tackle without it having to be a concern, right? Becton can play left tackle. Josh Jones from Houston can play left tackle. Andrew Thomas from Georgia has been a left tackle. Ezra Cleveland from Boise. Like, why, I guess, why bring this unknown into the equation, especially when you probably won't have any offseason program before training camp to help this rookie make the transition to the left side? Now, maybe if you just fall in love with Wills or Wirfs and you love their athleticism and he's your guy, then fine, and it'll probably work out. I just don't think it's – I do think it's an issue, and I think it's a concern. And Andrew Berry might not agree with me, but I think it's something worth considering when you're making that pick at number 10.
I've been playing devil's advocate on the Conklin thing, and Dan threw that idea out earlier. And I agree. I would leave Conklin on the right side. And, you know, Joe Thomas told us Becton last week was the guy that he would like there, Scott. So I'm going with Joe. But the only way it gets mixed in is what you just said. If Wills or Wirfs really has the attention of Andrew Berry and he thinks they're going to be phenomenal and that they would be better on the right side rather than trying to convert them to left tackle. Because, as you said, they don't have a ton of experience there. Conklin does. Conklin was a left tackle until he came to the NFL. So that's the only way I could see that happening. But I do think if Andrew Berry is thinking out of the box a little bit, well, okay, that's a little out-of-the-box thinking. So I don't think you can rule it out if he really – and, for instance, if Becton and Thomas are off the board, the guys who really played left tackle, and they still want to take a lineman at 10 because they think they're really too good to pass up, then maybe that situation comes into play.
I think that's a great point, Jeff. I was just going to say that's the situation where I think then you could make that pick. I also think that scenario opens up a trade down, and maybe you move to 15 or 19, and then a Josh Jones or an Austin Jackson or an Ezra Cleveland comes into play. But if you have in your ratings Wirfs and or Wills so much above those guys, then yes, then that's the scenario where I would take one of those guys at 10 and then figure it out after that.
Yep.
Is of all those guys that are available, one, who does Scott Petrick really want? If that person was available at 10, who would you really want? And then two, realistically, who do you think is going to be there at 10 for them to take?
I'm torn between Becton and Thomas for the reasons we just talked about, the true left tackles.
Sure.
Becton, I'm intrigued by how big he is and the fact that he moves like he does and he finishes in the run game. You know, there's questions about him as a pass protector, doesn't have the same experience as Thomas does. I think it's just my kind of conservative nature. I would, better safe than sorry, I think I would take Andrew Thomas would be my number one left tackle, and he'd be the guy I would take at 10. And I know fans don't want to hear it, and we've talked about it. I would also consider trading down. I think the Browns have enough needs, and there's enough quality tackles and other positions in this draft that if you could get a second or third round pick to move down 5 or 10 spots, I think you could fill more holes and I think you could get a quality left tackle.
Scott, the buzz last week was the Jadeveon Clowney reports and the Browns interested, making nice offer, blah, 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 blah. And then Andrew Berry said some kind of guarded comments about Clowney the other day. Do you think that ship has sailed, or do you think he's very much still in the Browns' thought process?
I don't think it's sailed. I think he's still asking too much money for what the Browns are willing to pay. I don't think they want to give a long-term deal to Clowney, given his injury history, given the fact that his numbers haven't been jaw-dropping. I think if you could get him to sign for 1 or 2 years at $15 million a year, I think the Browns would do that, but the problem is I think other teams would probably do that, including Seattle, and he might just want to go back to Seattle. So I don't think they've slammed the door on it, but if they were ready to pay him what he wanted, I think he would have already signed. So I think it's in a holding pattern until he drops his price or he says, I'm just going to go back to Seattle.
Was there anything else you got out of the press conference that was just like, blaringly obvious? Like, I for me, the one of the big things was early on in the press conference when They were talking about Olivier Vernon or somebody, and the question came up about guys playing for other regimes. And I love the fact that he just put his foot down and said, look, we're Browns, they're Browns, we're all in this together. Is that rhetoric or is that believable?
I want to believe it. And, you know, I don't have any reason to doubt Andrew Berry. From knowing him the little bit that we got to know him when he was here the first time. I think a lot of regimes say that, and then 18 months later, they turned over the entire roster and you go, oh, we didn't like these guys to begin with. So I need to see Andrew Berry kind of stick to that. And we'll get a chance to see that. Does he re-sign, you know, some of the young guys who were drafted by John Dorsey? You know, does he re-sign a guy like Denzel Ward? Does he really give Baker all the opportunities that they keep saying they're going to give Baker? You know, does he believe Baker like they say they do? He'll get that chance to prove it, but I think the answer is the right answer. And as far as anything else that stood out to me, I do think it's important the confidence he has in their ability to pull off this unusual draft. And, you know, I know some young people on Twitter were kind of scoffing at, you know, yeah, they know how to do Microsoft Teams and they know how to do Zoom. But I'm not sure. I do think Andrew Berry's Harvard education and master's in computer science and just comfort in today's technology gives him an advantage over some of the older general managers in the league. And, you know, just speaking for me, I'm 46. I would not be completely comfortable running a draft like that. I would be worried that stuff would go wrong. And I feel like the way the Browns are set up and with Berry and Stefanski and DePodesta, they are completely comfortable. It doesn't mean that there won't be hiccups, and it doesn't mean that they'll draft the right guys, but I don't think it's going to be an issue of they get flustered because Zoom shuts down for 5 minutes.
Scott, I'd like to tell you that sounds preposterous, but I can't. I agree with you on that. I think the Browns probably have the technical aspects of this thing absolutely nailed. I keep going back to one thought in my head. And that is, all right, you have Odell, and, you know, he's coming off of surgery. And you have Jarvis, and he's coming off of surgery. And you're kind of wondering who your third wide receiver is. And this is one of the supposedly deepest wide receiver groups in NFL history. And I keep thinking I won't be surprised if they take a wide receiver in the second round of this draft. Or certainly with one of the third round picks.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's interesting, and I haven't posted them yet. I've been doing them for the paper, kind of a position breakdown, what the Browns' needs are, who the top guys are to each position. And I did the receivers yesterday, and you're right. Like, they have Jarvis and Odell, and they're going to use two tight ends, and they're going to use a fullback, and they have Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. So the third receiver spot I don't think is a critical spot in this offense. Having said that, there's no guarantee, especially Jarvis, will be ready to go day one. And even if they are, you need a third guy. And you'd like a young guy because you don't know how long these veteran receivers are going to be with you. So I just don't think they can afford to not take a receiver in this draft. And especially when the Ravens GM, Eric DaCosta, says you can get a starter in the fifth round. That's how deep this receiver class is. So I think Andrew Berry must take a receiver. I'd be surprised if it were the second round. I think the window kind of opens with that second, third round pick, number 97. From there on, I think you take one or two receivers just because you can't let this draft class go without taking advantage. And then you find the guy you're looking for. Are you looking for the slot receiver? Are you looking for the speedy guy that can run the crossing routes to pair with Stefanski's bootleg offense? Kind of the thing you see with Kyle Shanahan, how he had a lot of production out of a guy like Taylor Gabriel or Samuel with the Niners last year. So I think you find the receiver you're looking for, the type of receiver, and go get him because there are going to be plenty of options.
All right, most important question we'll ask you before I let you go here. Do you feel like you've done more dishes in the last 2 weeks than you have in your entire life?
That would be an absolute 100% yes. It's unbelievable. I felt like I did four batches yesterday.
It is, like, every time I turn around, I feel like we're doing dishes. It just,
I know,
it's never ending.
I get mad. It's like, I just cleaned it, and I feel like everybody else is making the dishes, but I know I'm eating and drinking more than anybody else in my house, so I'm the one making the dishes, but I like to blame somebody else because I don't really enjoy doing dishes, and I agree. I've done them way more. And less laundry because I'm wearing way fewer clothes than I've ever worn. way fewer different clothes. The same outfit. I'm recycling the same outfit.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. All right. Really true. Scott, appreciate it. Of course, we're going to read your stuff at brownzone.com as we do all the time and in the Chronicle Telegram. Thank you so much. Looking forward to it. 10 days till the draft, my friend. 10 days.
Great.
It'll be
Thanks, fellas.
You know it. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.